Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Hello. It is Family Day.
It is.
Here in Ontario, which means we're not at work, basically.
That's right. It's a nice little holiday.
So that's nice. And it's sunny.
I think it's something in the States, too. Is it like President's Day or?
Oh.
We got Family Day.
Yes. Okay. So this week we're talking about the movie, The Darwin Awards, which I didn't realize until watching it that I had actually seen it before.
Yes, because in the last episode
like,
you said you'd never seen this.
I have seen this, but anyway, so I'll give you a little what the IMDb says this is about. Mm-hmm. We can elaborate, but anyway, it's to investigate bizarre insurance claims that transpired in either accidents, death, or both. A former cop and an insurance investigator travel throughout the country to look at the cases up close.
That's
so
accurate.
Yeah, that's quite accurate. This guy, played by Joseph Fiennes, is obsessed with, I guess it's called the Darwin Awards. It's like the people doing like really ridiculous things and then dying because of it.
Yeah, dying or really injuring themselves as a result. Yeah. And then, yeah, he's like a cop, I guess, or an investigator.
But he has a fear of blood. He has that fear of blood thing. So he faints at the sight of blood. So it didn't really work out for him.
Yeah. We see it not work out for him, though. Like, we see he's trying to catch this serial killer and then he catches him. And he's also got, there's like a whole mockumentary, or not mockumentary, like documentary aspect to this where somebody's following him with a camera throughout the whole thing that we don't see the person until the end. But so part of what we're watching is the movie that we're watching, and part of it is through the camera of the person following him.
Yeah, you're never sure which one is which, though.
True.
But it's fine, I think.
Yeah, sometimes they talk directly to the camera and then you know you're watching the documentary guy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that guy films him, like, fainting at the blood and doesn't help him because he has this, like...
Yeah, he has to be impartial or whatever.
Impartial journalist, whatever. So then he gets fired. I have a question. Like, would you get fired for fainting at blood? Like, didn't they know that to begin with?
Yeah, like, wouldn't that be... Wouldn't he have done it before? Like, how is this... That was the first time, you know... Following a huge like murder investigation, this is the first time he saw blood and fainted. I don't think so.
He'd been at crime scenes and they were were kind of making fun of him already, weren't they? For him being like squeamish.
So, but I guess that was because it was such a public case.
Yes. I also feel like, have cops never accidentally let someone go that they were trying to catch, and like, do they immediately get fired for it? I don't know. I just didn't believe.
Yeah, of course
that
not.
He would get immediately fired.
It's like they were looking for a reason to.
Because nobody else knew who the serial killer was. He was the only one who knew. He was the one who figured out who it was and started to catch him.
Yeah. Nope. He's fired. So, wouldn't that lead a dead end to that investigation?
They had a film of who he was. Couldn't that have then caught him? But no. That didn't work because, skip to the end of this movie, he does catch the serial killer. But like, why didn't nobody catch him in the interim while he wasn't working for the cops? Yeah. I don't know.
What were the cops doing?
Could they not identify who he was from the video?
Yeah, were there no other detectives? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
He leaves town, nothing happens. He comes back. It's solved. Anyways. So that's just one element.
One element.
So I guess to start, what did you think of this? Like, you'd completely forgotten that you'd seen it, so it didn't make an impression on you.
I guess not. Like, it came out in 2006, so I was trying to figure out when the heck I watched it.
Because you didn't have a ticket for it in your ticket.
No,
thing.
I had no ticket. So I think it might have been on Netflix at some point, and I watched it then, but it might have been like a late night watch.
Right.
Which is why I have no recollection of what happened. But as soon as I saw, what's his name? David Arquette. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I've seen this. Because I remember that scene, because how can you not forget like right. that scene. Like that's so.
And he's right at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Right?
So what he does is strap a, you know, airplane jet engine to his car and decides to take it for a spin. And then
doesn't go very well.
He swerves off the road and flies into a mountain and it explodes and he dies.
Yes. Yes.
There's yeah.
Okay. The part about that I enjoyed.
Julia Lewis is in it.
Yeah, Julia Lewis is his wife, right? Yeah. And she's like doesn't seem to be into him anymore.
No.
He's not successful. Yeah. Does he run a garage or he has
some
he must
of business,
be a mechanic or something since he's like his dream is to turn his car into this fast vehicle. But she seems to like this jerk who drives up in like a fancy car and like treats her husband like garbage, throws his money at him and stuff. And she's all impressed by him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Do they think that she's doing something fraudulent? Like she made her husband die so that she could get insurance? I don't know what they were investigating about that. Because in the end, isn't Joseph Fiennes, right? That's who it is.
Yeah.
He says, oh, he was a hero because he swerved off the road so that he wouldn't slam right into a family that was driving.
And the family thought it was aliens.
That's right, because it did take off.
Yeah.
And I think the jet propulsion thing would have eventually run out. So he was just about to run out of fuel and it would have stopped on its own. But he ended up driving into a mountain because he was trying to save the people.
Yes. Flying into a mountain because it took off after he swerved off the road.
Yeah.
Into the air.
I think Winona was a very unlikable character in this movie for me anyway. She was so like cynical and mean.
Yeah, she was not nice. She had a bigger role than I thought she would.
Right. Yeah.
Her and Joseph Fiennes, they travel around seeing all these cases, investigating all these cases. But she's not a nice person.
She's very mean to him. Yeah. She's like, you're a loser. I don't want to travel around with this loser. And I don't know why she thinks he's a loser. Like, just because he fainted at the
blood
at the beginning.
Just because he faints at blood, it makes him an automatic loser, I think.
Right. So. Which I'm just like, are you a bully? So, like, she felt like a bully.
Yeah,
throughout.
She was so mean. Like, why did they make her like that? But
yeah, that's what I felt, too. I was like, this could have been, like, last week or whatever, last episode.
Yeah.
I was like, looking at the premise of this movie, it seems like it could be good. But I think you have to make somewhat like characters you want to follow through this story.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I know there wasn't like oh, them. Let's see what they do. It's like, oh, come on. Can't they do something else? Cause they're so like one dimensional. Like,
yeah,
that was it. There wasn't much to them. Blood True. Fainting and mean Winona.
Right.
You know?
So yeah, I guess because he's got this investigative skills, he goes to a insurance company and says, I can save you all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he ends up being partnered with Winona, and that's why they go on the road together.
I feel like this was probably also a movie to showcase all the other actors that were in the movie as like, I don't know, they wanted to put all these actors in the movie and they just were like,
yeah, there's a lot of people in this.
Yeah. It's like, let's do a tour of all these funny people. And it was like a funny actor tour. And it was also like, the Mythbusters dudes were in it.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
That was the thing I was about to say that I liked about the David Arquette part was that he goes to the Mythbusters dudes to get the rocket thing.
Oh, that's where he got it.
And apparently, right. I guess Matt was sitting next to me while I was watching this and he was like looking, maybe it was even on IMDb that he read this. Maybe it was Wikipedia. Who knows? He was reading about stuff while we were watching it. And he said that on Mythbusters, they myth busted that very thing, like putting a rocket on the back of your car.
Oh, that's funny.
Thing. So
that makes I can see that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming all of these things were based on real Darwin awarded stories. Because I know, for instance, that first one. So the very thing, like the thing that I don't know if it happens as an example of a Darwin Award worthy incident or if it's I don't think it's something they're investigating. It's the one where the guy like throws something at the window in the office tower and then runs at the window and falls out. That actually happened in Toronto.
Yeah, I heard about that
in the TD Center.
Yes, I heard about that because a coworker of mine was getting very angry at me when I was standing close to the window.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even, you know, maybe I was touching it, but still, she was just like, "Don't you dare do that." I was like, "Okay." triggering.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's a real thing. Some guy really did that. He thought he could
run at this thing. I think he ran at it too many times. Plus, I think what happened was he was throwing things at it and it created like a little hairline crack. And that's what made the window. I watched another show that was like Strange Ways to Die or something. And they explained why the window gave way. Because they were supposed to be break proof. Mm-hmm. Like you could lean on those windows and you wouldn't fall out. But I think just like purposefully trying to bash it open.
This guy in the movie ran at it with like this cushion or piece of, I don't know what he was holding.
Like, yeah, he was holding a seat from like one of the office chairs.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I guess to protect himself from hitting the window and hurting himself. I don't know. But that guy was Nicolas Cage's brother from Face Off.
Oh.
Anyway, that actor.
There's a scene in the cafe. Winona's character's name is Siri.
Yes, I made note of that. Before Siri.
And did you notice that there was like this old couple reading books in the cafe?
Yes.
That's Winona's parents in real life.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, now I want to watch that part again.
I know.
Actually, they talk to those people or did they just talk about those people?
I can't remember. I remember them just giving like dirty looks. That was about it.
And I think he thought it was weird that they were reading books in public.
Oh, like that's not right.
Something
that
people do or something.
Yeah.
he was profiling them.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I actually just read that on the trivia.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's good trivia. I like it.
Yeah, that's solid trivia.
Yeah, another unlikable characteristic of Winona. I mean, it was the whole bully thing, but I wrote down a note that she calls him a pussy. At some point. And I'm just like, no.
No, that's
Winona.
Good. That's not
you're
good.
A bully. also when she, I'm not gonna remember the name of the actress. I think her last name is like, because the for some reason they list all the cast alphabetically. And Robin Tunney.
Oh yeah, she's like in The Craft and such. Niagara and what else is Robin Tunney?
Yeah.
Empire Records.
There you go. So she was she worked at a hotel they stayed at, and then Winona was trying to be all like, you should get with her.
Yeah,
I'll make out with you and then fight with you and act like we're fiancés
breaking up, and then it'll be a good reason to ask her out.
It's right, like, it's like, why
did you just go up to her and ask her out? Why do you have to do a whole show that, and it's even, it's like making a fake lie to meet somebody. I don't know.
It seems like she was figuring it's just you can just sleep with her and that'll be that. But like, if you wanted to start a relationship with someone, don't start it with a big lie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Winona's decision making wasn't good. It was generally boring. But there was a lot of people, so I just kept, every time like, there was a new thing, it was like Chris Penn was one of them. Tim Blake Nelson was the serial killer.
We already said that. Lucas Haas was in it. He was the idiot who drove off
Lucas Haas.
The Metallica concert, yes.
Him and Judah
Friedlander, yeah.
That was maybe one of the best parts of the movie, which also was a weird moment. Like, it was an excuse to have a Metallica concert in the middle of the
and
movie.
And to have Metallica in it?
Yeah, because like, they did talk. Like,
the director must have been friends with all these people or fans of all these people and is like, how do I make a movie with everyone I'm interested in and I know?
Exactly.
And then, Metallica had a little scene.
And they were also jerks to Lucas Haas, weren't they, kind of? Like, at first they asked him and thought it was cool that he drove into their concert, but then he kind of made fun of him.
Yeah, he? I think
I
so.
Know, like, calling him a virgin or something, which was supposed to be an insult. I don't know. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of likable people in this movie. One thing I learned through watching this movie, and in particular because they listed the cast alphabetically, I was like, are Kevin Dunn and Nora Dunn related? They are brother and sister.
Oh.
I never knew that. But apparently that is the case.
Okay. Okay.
But I've seen both of them in many things, but I just didn't know, I'd never put two and two together that they had the same last name. That they're related.
Josh Charles, the little guy, he plays
little guy.
I don't know why I said little guy.
I'm like, I don't think he's that little.
He's not that little. But he's in the lawyer lady movie TV show.
Lawyer lady.
He plays Will, the good wife.
Oh,
lawyer lady.
Isn't that Juliana Margulies?
Oh,
that?
Yeah, that's Juliana.
Yeah, okay.
So they're and both in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She plays a British person in this, and Josephine plays an American person in this, and it's a whole thing.
It's off. It's off. It he doesn't play a good American either. Like, you can tell he's British somehow.
Somehow you can tell he's a person putting on an American accent.
Yeah.
Though I don't really find that he, like, slips into another accent. It's just a weird accent.
Just something about him. Yeah.
So, yeah, what are the many things that happen, the Darwin Awards-like things that happen? Somebody gets... Vending machine lands on him. That was Ty Burrell,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Because his arm, family. He got his arm stuck in the vending machine, then he rocked it too many times and it landed on top
and
of him.
Squished him.
Squished him.
What else happened? There was a really funny line about secondborns, and because I'm a secondborn, I wrote it down. But it's like, second child syndrome, you know, they look responsible on the outside, but they're... competitive risk takers who craves attention or whatever.
Okay. Was like, that him like analyzing someone?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just wrote it down.
Yeah. You're like, I don't remember.
Oh, it was about David Arquette. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And so Judah Friedlander and Lucas Haas, their thing was they were trying to climb into the, like, climb over a fence or a barrier to get into a Metallica concert. But I guess the parking lot was higher than the land on the other side. Mm-hmm. So once Judah Friedlander got over, he was like, oh, shit, I can't just drop or I'll break everything.
But then he did drop.
He did. He fell into the tree and then he managed to fall
into some bushes,
not die. But then by accident, Lucas Haas, like, drove his car through the barrier and then his car landed on Judah Friedlander.
Yeah.
So, obviously, he died.
Smooshed him again. Another smoosh.
Another smoosh. Juliana Margulies and whoever she was with, who is, I think, a British person. Because he was British, but I think he really is British. But I can't find who it is. What were they doing? Oh, they rented a motorhome, and she thought that... whatever it is. Cruise control.
Yeah.
They said it was like autopilot, so she literally thought that it drove itself.
So they were busy like pouring champagne and she went to like go give her husband or whatever a blowjob. And meanwhile, the little motorhome drove into a dentist's office.
Right.
And then the dentist was doing work on this guy. And then I guess the dentist ended up drilling this guy badly.
Yeah.
And he you see him... later, and he's wearing like this big thing around his head. I don't know. It looks like he's like totally, totally smooshed. I don't know what happened to him. He got hurt. He got hurt bad by that drill.
That drill went nuts in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
Ew.
Yeah, ew. What other things happened?
There was this bungee cord bathtub scene with
That was
Joseph Fiennes.
Joseph Fiennes.
He's, I was supposed to say Rafe. But anyway.
Yeah. Right. The other
one. Rafe was not in this movie.
No, it doesn't seem like his.
Joseph Fiennes is like terrified of slipping in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. So he rigs up this weird like bungee cord contraption so he doesn't slip. But he ends up flipping right over and then stuck. And then Winona comes and helps him down. But that was a weird scene.
That was weird.
I thought someone would get hurt or something more would happen from that, but it was just a gag.
Somehow that part kind of reminded me of Destination Wedding. Just because, not because it was a thing necessarily that would have happened in it, but just her like coming into his room in the hotel and then like...
True.
Having disdain for him and like, you know that the whole goal of this movie is to bring them together at the end because of course, like, even though... the whole movie has another plot altogether. It's a man and a woman. They're going to get together at the end. I don't know. The Chris Penn, Max Perlich scenario was that Chris Penn was ice. They were ice fishing.
Oh, my God.
And he threw dynamite to blow open the ice. And then his dog went and fetched the dynamite and was chasing them with it. And then it went and sat under his car, his brand new, like... truck.
Yeah, like this fancy huge SUV. So like this guy bought this, you know, he was saved all his money and bought this big truck that was ridiculous. And the dog just kind of dropped the dynamite under the car and took off, and then the car blew up and sunk in the water.
Right. And then Chris Penn fell in the water and he had a gun. Because yes. for some reason they were ice fishing, like, by shooting the fish, too.
Yeah.
And so then he fell in the water holding his gun. And then the Max Perlich was trying to pull him out. And then he shot him. And they used
the gun as, like, the rail to hold on to. Oh, but of course,
it went on.
Chris Penn pulled the trigger and shot him.
Right.
And killed him, I guess.
I don't think he killed him. Oh, I think he just shot him because then they said that their car was robbed and that's why what's his name got shot.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
That's why Bob got shot.
Bob.
And then they figured it out because there was fish in the trees.
Oh yeah, that's right. There Winona slipped on the ice, I think, and then she looked up and saw fish in the trees, and that's how they magically figured all that out.
All the stuff that had happened that led to the car being in the water. I mean, yeah. And then we find out that Wilmer Valderrama was the documentary filmmaker.
Yes.
That they called... What did they call him throughout it? They called him... I forget. I didn't write down what they called him, but they just called him shithead or something to that effect. Like, it was...
Yeah, at one point he runs out of film, and it was like at a pivotal point. Like, he was supposed to record... What was
Were
that?
They going to kiss end? Or something?
Yeah. Kiss.
Yeah, and I think they didn't like him because he just, like, would never help out, and then they got stranded at some point and accidentally blew up their car, and he was like, oh, I had a cell phone all the time that, like, worked out here, and they were, like, freezing to death, and they got mad at him. Mm-hmm. Then...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know why he kept letting him follow him. I also don't know why he kept following him when he lost his job, because didn't he want to follow somebody on the police force?
Yeah, like, he was just like, maybe this guy's story was more interesting or something, and he was just going for it.
Also, why would when he went for the interview with, what's his name, Dunn? What's his first name? I don't know. With the interview with Kevin Dunn, who was the insurance executive. Like, why would he... First of all, he took a meeting with this stranger who wants a job with him. He's not applying for a job, I don't think. He's just like, I will create this job and you will want me for these reasons. Why would he let a camera person in for that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I had... He could go anywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
And all these, like, crime scenes. Camera.
Yeah. And then at the end, it seemed like he was going to start following the paramedics. Like, yeah. He had no purpose. He was just like, I'm just going to follow people until they stop letting me, and then I'll follow somebody else.
That's
like,
his story,
I
guess.
I have no plan for this movie I'm making. Nope. But he had a lot of integrity as a journalist that he wouldn't interfere or help in any way. Oh, yeah, he wouldn't help him when he slipped in the bath.
Yes,
so then
right.
Winona came and helped him.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just going to let this guy fall on his head or die? I don't know. There was a Wilco reference in this. Did we say that there was a Winona
Wilco?
No,
I was going to say she plugged Wilco because she loves Wilco.
Right.
She's like, oh. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think when she was trying to get him together with the receptionist, Robin Tunney or whatever, she said, like, you can play Wilco. And, like, he was like, why Wilco? And then she's like, you're not good enough for Wilco. You don't deserve Wilco.
You don't deserve Wilco. It's like, okay, that's like... Not a script. That's like
that's
real Winona, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, John Doe was back again.
Yeah. Good old John Doe. Yeah, he was in the bar. John Doe from X.
Him and Jerry Harrison from Talking Heads were sitting at the bar talking about the rocket thing.
Yeah.
Which then made Joseph Fiennes mad and he went to fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Fell before he reached them, which is probably for the best because he wouldn't have beat John Doe in a fight.
You can't beat John Doe in a fight.
Yeah. I think those are all my notes about this.
There was a Violent Femme song in it.
Oh, yes.
Gone, Daddy, gone. Mm-hmm. I wrote the word secret, but I don't know why. I don't know where. It just says secret.
Okay. What was the secret?
I don't know.
I don't remember a secret.
Secret.
Huh.
Oh, crap. I gotta write better notes than that.
I love it.
Secret.
Huh. Cool. Well, we'll see what the secret was to this movie. If we remember, we'll come back and say it.
There's no secret. I don't know.
Dear. Yeah. So, yeah, there was a lot of people in this. I think the fun of watching it for me was just seeing all the people and being like, hey, this person's
in this. It was one of those things.
Yeah. That was really it. I didn't like Winona.
Her name is Siri.
I mean, even if she was playing like a mean character, I suppose I could have like enjoyed her performance as that mean character, but somehow I didn't.
No, there was something off about this.
Yeah.
Her voice was also like different. Did you notice her voice was different?
No, I didn't really.
It's like higher or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
And I have no idea why they got together at the end.
Oh, yeah. If you have time, take a look at the poster. It's very funny. Because you could see the rocket. Oh, yeah. Because it has the car in the air just cutting through the Darwin Awards title. It's pretty good.
Can I see? Oh, boy.
If you're going to watch this for anything, watch it for the David Arquette scene, I think. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
It starts off the movie, but then it happens later for real.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward through. Watch that part. That's pretty good. Best part. Oh, dear.
Yes. So that was Darwin Awards.
It sure was.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it wasn't a memorable film, and it was just something. It's in like an easy watch. It's one of those.
I didn't hate watching it.
No.
That's a selling point.
Yeah.
you should really watch this movie. I didn't hate watching it.
It's not a hate watch.
No.
It's just fine watch.
It really is.
Next, we got Scanner Darkly, though.
I mean, I'm hoping, I did have hopes for this, that like it seemed like it could be funny, and it just was mediocre and not great. Do you have memories of whether A Scanner Darkly is better?
I saw it in theater.
Okay.
But I feel like, I mean, I watched it, but it was a lot. I remember thinking it was a lot.
Okay.
I could do with a rewatch, obviously, but...
Is that the only time you've seen it?
Yeah, I've only seen it once. Have you seen it?
I have never seen it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I feel like I don't like rotoscoping, and that is what this is done. Yeah, the type of animation.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I've avoided most movies that use it, mm-hmm. But here I go.
And it's Winona and Keanu. Keanu again.
Yeah, I feel like in general... Things about this I would like, and maybe I'd like it better if it was either animated or live action, but
pick
I don't like
with it.
The look of rotoscoping, so I don't watch that.
Yeah, and there was a lot of like little bugs in this that I can remember, like little bugs crawling around in Scanner Darkly.
Okay. All right.
I don't do bugs.
That's a reason that you were like, I'm not going to go back to watch this movie. So when you say it was a lot, I mean, we're going to obviously talk about the movie when we watch it, but do you
maybe
mean like there was a lot going on, like it was worth rewatching to figure out everything that was happening?
I think so. Because I don't know. I don't remember much of it, but I remember it was like, maybe because of it's like the weird, whatever, how they filmed it or made it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to take in for me.
Fair.
It's like, what is this? Is it a cartoon?
Right. What is this?
What is this?
Well, we'll determine that next time.
Mm-hmm. So have yourselves a good one.
Have a good holiday, which will be over by the time you listen to this.
Enjoy your Wednesday.
Yeah,
you better be listening to this on Wednesday.
Winona Wednesday.
Yes.
Watch a better Winona movie than the Darwin Awards to celebrate Winona Wednesday.
Bye. Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.